Well, that's okay. You'll have plenty of time to do that down in Malaysia. Now, I want to cover a couple of things here that are very important for us to understand. And I think it's very good. I think also Eric and Franz did an excellent presentation in their messages. And it really shows how God works with individuals and helps them. And speaking in ways that are effective for the people of God comes from the heart. And it shows that what makes speaking effective is, number one, God's Spirit. Number two, desire from within, having the laws of God and commandments of God written in our hearts and in our minds, and a desire to serve. And the desire to serve is not for exaltation or anything like that. Now, Andrew told me when I first talked to him, he said, the people in Malaysia said, Christian Biblical Church of God is not a church. See? Well, as he said in his message, wherever two or three are gathered, there's where the church of God is. Because Christ is in the midst. And I'm sure there are a lot of people that know very little about Christian Biblical Church of God other than on the website. And church at home, and some of our books and booklets. And were they surprised to hear that we're going to have a conference, Andrew? They were. They probably thought two or three would be here. So, I did a little figuring last night. So we could put this down. How does the Christian Church of God function with those participating in the church? So I've kind of nicknamed the church this way. Christian Biblical Church of God is a church that is, we do exist, okay, that was, because we came from other churches, and yet is not, because it's hard to find us. So, we'll peel back the veil just a little bit. See? And for everybody's information, we're not financed by rich people. Okay? So, guess how many elders we have? And we'll have one more after we get done this morning. What do you think? 18 plus Russell Kemp, who will be ordained here shortly. That's 19. Now, I think that qualifies that we are. Don't you? Okay. Roger Kendall, Marlon Fannin, Gene Palm, not able to be here because of his wife in condition, Steve Durham, Roger Toynton, man up here leading the songs, Lyle Johnston from New Zealand. He got sick last night, so he's recovering in his room this morning. Andrew Moses. Now, that was interesting how that came about. That came about this way. Years ago, Andrew's father called, and I talked to him on the phone several times. And he kept asking me, we'll come to Malaysia. And I said, well, I just can't do it. We'll have to do the best we can with what it is. And after we got things going with the office in Australia and Roy taking care of that, then I sent everything to Roy. He tried to go there last Feast of Tabernacles, but couldn't make it, but went there during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay? What happened when he got there and saw the fruit that was there, and talking with Andrew and also talking with Andrew's uncle, was determined that he should be an elder. So he was ordained by Roy on April 23rd in Malaysia. And that shocked the whole Church of God community down there. He's still getting emails from them. Is it real? Did it really happen? Okay. So then continuing with the list, we have Roy Asante, Roy Mack right here. Helmut Berger, South Africa. Situation is such that it's very difficult for him to get out of there. And then Franz Peters. He didn't tell you that he's already translated a good number of booklets and things like that into Dutch. And who knows, maybe we'll have something in German a little later. I found out yesterday that because I understand some German, and so we're running down the hall, and he's running down the hall, and they said, "Schnell, schnell." That's German. So I said, "What is it in Dutch?" He said, "Schnell, schnell." Okay. Then Ben Ambrose, Norbert Bornert, Duncan McLeod, who now is doing writing. We really appreciate what he does, and he helps out. He helps out Roger Kendall, Gilibaldo Elizondo, takes care of the Latinos, travels to Mexico, and then we also have, not as an elder, but we have as a worker in Canada, Miguel Mercia, who takes care of the Spanish website. So we've got quite a few things going, and Franz Peters has a Dutch website. So Roy is trying to work up one for Australia, and I got it right that time. Okay? Now then, we have Stan Timmick, Lawrence Birchfield. Now Lawrence lives right in the middle of the most born-again Christians in the world, Oklahoma. However, they only have a little dim of light because most of those are the Protestants who are for Jesus and they have some understanding. It's like some of them are saying, let's see, who was it? Billy Graham's daughter said, well, we all ought to take Daniel the 9th chapter as a message to us as a nation to repent. So they have some knowledge. But they need to keep the Sabbath in order to get more oil. Okay? And then we'll take care of Russell in a little bit. Now, the reason I say that we're the church that is and is not and yet is because we have most of those who work for the church work in their homes thanks to the internet. Okay? So we have working in Montana, John and Heidi Vogely. And they help with the many things in putting together the literature and all of that. We have Phil Neal, who's our editor. He's in Mississippi. Bonnie Orswell, Nancy Spaller, and Lila Patterson. They do transcripts. Okay? How many here have transcript books? Okay? I have to tell you a little sidebar on Bonnie Orswell. She used to transcribe Roderick C. Meredith's sermons. So that's why Uncle Rod doesn't like me. Okay. Then we have Randyville. He's really very gifted. He's the one who takes care of Church at Home and the website and does all the editing and splicing in and all of that sort of thing. And I already mentioned Miguel Mercia. Then we have offices in Hollister. In Hollister, we have three women who work there. They're not in the church, but they're very dedicated. Kimberly has been with us for 15 years. Terry has been with us for 12 years, and Bonnie has been with us for 9 years. Now, Bonnie takes care of editing the messages, digitally editing them. So that's all computer work. And she also helps me when we're reading, like we have read the whole Bible. We've got the whole Bible online. Took a little over 2 years to read it, and then it all had to be edited. So she had to edit it, okay? Then we have the book, Day Jesus to Christ Died, and the new book that you just got, we have that read. We're able to read that because they were late in getting the cover to us. Now, the way it works, I stand over here with a microphone, and I have the book printed out in a reading column, which Vogelis do for me. And then I have the recorder on, and over behind me is Bonnie, her last name's Infante. So in reading along, whenever there's a mistake, she says, correction, then go back, state it again. Sometimes it's got to be two or three times, you know. Got to get it through your thick head. But we have, let's see, I forget all the books we have read, but we have the Passover book read, don't we? Yes, we have that. Okay. Now, we also have working for us in the office, and he comes in one day a week, that is Ken Redman, and he is, we bought a great big high-speed copier for this project, and that is take all the transcripts and make spiral notebooks like this. Okay? These are the extended series that we have. And we have over 40 right now. Plus, we have 10 study packs for new people that we send out to them, much like it would be a correspondence course. So we have that all developed. How many here have gone through the Love series? Good. Good. How many have gone through the Grace series? Good. See? Now, all the formatting on all of these transcript books, Bonnie Orswell has done. She's quite amazing. She can just sit down and go like that, so we're thankful for it. And she lives in Alabama. Lila Patterson lives in Washington. And Nancy Spaller lives in Alabama as well. Then we have Jim and Betty Hiles. He's been like a personal assistant to me for 15 years, somewhere right around there, 16 years. Right now he's 85, and be sure and pray for him and Betty. He's really having a difficult time with prostate cancer. So be sure and pray for him. And just recently, Bob Honeycutt passed. And if you look at the congregation here, we have a pretty good mix of young and old. And so we're very happy to have a new generation come along, see? And God is the one who has to work in the minds of those people, because you just don't go out and say, okay, we need a new generation, come on in, see? But God has done this over and over again down through time, so, you know, God is able to handle it. And so I'm sure that God will provide more for us that we can do. In the meantime, for all of us, my prayer every day for every one of us who are getting up into the 80 years old, I'll be 81 in July, okay, that whatever time God wants us to have to continue serving, and everybody in, you know, who's over 65, that God would bless with health and strength and added years concerning the times we're living in and the things that we need to do and the things that need to be accomplished, And through all of this, as you look at us, and as you look at what the Christian Biblical Church of God has done, it's not because we're great. It's not because we're smart. It's not because we are better than anybody else. It's because God has given us a love and a passion to serve Him. Now, I brought with me for all the elders. This would be good for you to go through too. Obedience of a Christian Man by William Tyndale. And he lived 1494 to 1536. And we would not have the Bible in any English if it weren't for that man. And to stymie the whole Catholic Church, God used one man because he loved God and hated the Catholic Church with a passion, a righteous hatred. See? And so, I brought it for all the elders to take and read. And if you want it, you can just write for it and order it. We'll send it to you. Okay? But we all need to know God is in charge all the time, everywhere. See? And He will provide what is needed at the time that it is needed, and He will provide those to do it. But the thing that is important now is that as we're coming along and developing, we need to keep in mind several things. Let's come back to Jeremiah 23 and let's see something important here. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah was a prophet for 40 years to the house of Judah. Jeremiah 23. Now God said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That meant at the very instant of conception, He knew Jeremiah. When he got old enough, He said, I'm going to send you as a prophet to the house of Judah and the house of Israel. And so there are prophecies that apply to the other 10 tribes as well. And He told them, I'm going to give you a mind of bronze and fortify your forehead like the flint of rock. And I see that in Tyndale as well. And he was one man alone against everybody. He was the son of a priest and lived in one of the priest cities. Later on, they're called the men of Anathoth. That was the priestly city because of what he spoke to the Jews and what God was going to do. Those in his own hometown wanted to kill him. But God said, I'll be with you. And as you read it, I suggest you go ahead and use that as a Bible study. Okay? What you will find is that Jeremiah had to go through a lot of difficulties and problems, and he got so discouraged that he said, oh God, why did you do this to me? And remember when he was thrown in the sewer? You know, quick, up to here in the sludge? You know? God looked upon him as doing a good job and he'd rescue him. The people looked upon him, boy, we're glad we threw him in there. See? People don't like to be told, repent, amend your ways. See? So let's start right here in verse 1, Jeremiah 23. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. That's both religious and political. Now, as we read these words, you can see it's happened today. Today! Look at this nation. Look what Obama's trying to do in the last few months of his presidency, but to turn this nation into Sodom and Gomorrah, literally. Okay? Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the shepherds who feed my people, you have scattered my flock and have driven them away and have not taken care of them. Behold, I will bring upon you the evil of your doing, says the Lord. That happened in the church as well? Every one of us were scattered, right? Didn't every one of us have a time when we were alone and said, oh, Lord God, what do you want? Well, so did Jeremiah, see? So this happens, and God has to intervene and rescue. So he says, verse 3, but I will gather the remnant of my flock out of the countries where I have driven them and bring them again into the fold. Now this applies in type to the church, but it applies to all of Israel. Now let's look at it, what it is today. Look what happens. Verse 14. I've also seen the prophets of Jerusalem in them, a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. Right in the pulpit, right? Yes, indeed. They also strengthen the hand of the evildoers. Sounds like political corruption in Washington, D.C., in London, in Paris. You want to know why we have terrorists coming against us? And you'll never kill them all, and you'll never get rid of them, because the cause is not their hatred. The cause is the hatred of the people of Israel and Judah against God and his Sabbath and his holy days and his way. So he sends correction. And if they repent, they'll back off. If they refuse to repent, more comes. And if they refuse to repent, more comes. Because you can't fight against God. See? Now then, so that none returns from the evil, from his evil, they are all of them like Sodom to me, and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, I will feed them wormwood. Now, I covered some of that yesterday about the history of what has happened. And make them drink poisonous waters, for from the prophets of Jerusalem ungodliness has gone forth into all the land, and from every pulpit there may be a few that are calling for repentance. But unless they begin by repenting of Sunday keeping and Easter and Christmas and Halloween and all of those things, the only good that comes from them is if and when they read the Word of God, and maybe someone will pay attention to it. See? So he says, thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, for they make you vain. Are we vain? Is this nation vain? They speak a vision from their own heart, out of their own mouth. You need to understand this. The first time you read something about someone who's supposed to be a minister, and he says, I had a dream. Okay? Check what he teaches. They still say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. Go do whatever you want. They read the verse, God didn't send his son to judge the world, but to save the world. Therefore, God is not judging me. Not true. Okay? And they say to everyone who walks in after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and hear his word? Who has attended to his word and heard it? That's us, brethren. You see, my hope and prayer is that there will be enough repentance out there with the people of America, and I don't know what's going to happen in Britain, and Franz Peters could tell you what's happening in the Netherlands. It's almost a whole lost cause of Islamic takeover, see? And because of what we're reading right here, the very thing. What's his name? Wilder? What's his name? Wilder. Okay. Wilder is one man who's been telling the Western world for how long Islam is going to take over. And in London, they're cheering the fact that they have an Islamic mayor. What a disgusting thing. So God looks down. So what we need to do, let's give ourselves a little test as we're going through this. Okay. Do I really love God? Do I really love His word? Do I really hear His word? Or do I think I've been in the church so long I don't need to study the love of God? I don't need to study the grace of God. Really, maybe you ought to check your lamp, like Eric said. A little sidebar. I learned a very important point from William Tyndale while reading this on the way to the conference. Question. What are the keys to the kingdom that God gave to Peter? Can you answer that? Now, we've always known that the papal claim of the keys of Peter were that he controls who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. See? But what are the keys that he gave to Peter and hence to all the apostles and hence to all the church? And I bring this up from the point of view, we are never too old. We are never too knowledgeable. We have never learned everything that there is to learn. We need to learn in our lifetime. And so here, 500 years ago, he said what the keys were. And I read it in the past, but never really sunk in. You know what the keys are? Number one, the key of knowledge. Number two, the key of faith. And repentance. Those are the keys to the kingdom of God. And I'm sitting here on the plane reading this and I thought, isn't that amazing? You know, how stupid can you be? I know you never talk to yourself. You ever talk to yourself? Okay. All right. Now here's what's going to happen. Verse 19. Behold, the tempest of the Lord has gone forth in a whirling tempest. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. Now, verse 20, pay close attention. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he has executed, until he has performed the purposes of his heart. Okay? Now, God has purposes of love for his church. Purposes of correction for us, purposes of correction for Israel and Judah and the nations of the world. Okay, now notice the next phrase. In the latter days you shall understand it perfectly. That's why we understand what's going on. And it all starts in the pulpit. And with the Church of God, it all starts with the ministry. That if the ministry does not serve in love and truth and obedience and speak the word of God, the tempest is going to come upon them and devour them. Have we lived through that? Now we have a small group of battered sheep down in Pasadena. And I go down there about every other month. And every once in a while, I drive around where the world headquarters used to be. And through the years, I've seen that where the dormitories were, those were transferred into classrooms. Where the vacant lot was, now there are apartments and condominiums. Where the Loma D. Armstrong Garden Center with the two classrooms that the tithes and offerings paid for. They're gone. They're torn down. The old mansion is still there, and they've just recently torn down with the classrooms, and they are calling it Ambassador Gardens. What do you know? They kept the name. And they're building expensive condominiums for the very rich, right on Orange Grove Avenue. If you want to hobnob with the rich when you're dead, I'll have them live on your property. See the hand of God there? And the administration building was just torn down to make room for another one. The only thing that is standing is the auditorium. I wonder what's going to happen to it. We'll just have to wait and see. But here's why. Verse 21. I've not sent these prophets. If you don't preach the word of God, I'm not sending you. Yet they ran. I've not spoken to them. Remember when everything was, don't believe me, believe your Bible. Remember when it was, prove everything. Check it out with your Bible. If you don't find it in your Bible, don't follow me. Then it became, I am God's apostle and you will do what I say. And it came out contrary to the word of God, right? Okay. So I want to bring us up to date where we are, why the church is in the condition it is, and for us to always remember that we have got to put forth the effort and the zeal and the diligence all the time. And we'll see what we have to use for that, with that. Now, verse 22. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Even the Sunday keepers, if they preach the word of God, that's from God. They may be for Jesus. Now, there are some Protestants for Jesus and some Protestants against Jesus. Okay? Because if you're not with me, you're against me. But if they're on our behalf, they are for us. That's what Jesus said. Okay? So it's possible. So God makes it important. He's created the heavens, the earth, and everything that there is, yet he is near everyone. Notice verse 23. Am I a God who is near, says the Lord, not a God who is far off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, says the Lord? That doesn't mean God is spread out through the heavens and the earth. It means everything in the heavens and the earth is controlled by him, by laws, by numbers, by, you know, how were you created in the womb? By the chromosomes that God put genes and chromosomes into Adam and Eve. And here we are. Okay? I've heard what the prophet said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies and are prophets of deceit, of the deceit of their own heart? That's coming again within the churches of God. I can tell you right now, there is a new book out called The Last End and The Book of Remembrance, put out by the leaders of the Church of God that's in Edmonds, Oklahoma. Okay? I just got it. It's filled with narcissism, false teachings, but look what it's going to do to the brethren. See? That's why it's so important. See, that's why none of us as elders should take ourselves to be anything but servants of God, and that means with the Word of God, with the Spirit of God, with the love of God, with the truth of God, which I'll cover a little later this afternoon, see. They scheme to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell. Each one to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Now here's what God says. This is the message to every person, but in particularly for those of us who are elders. Okay? The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. Let him go his way. He who has my word. All right, we got it, don't we? Think of it. Think what a blessing it is. Every single one of us can sit here and have a Bible, and we can say, turn here, turn there, go here, go there, read this, God says this, and so forth. How many languages is it in? Is it in? Peter does it in Dutch. He's got booklets translated and so forth, and hope that we can do something for the Germans as well. We don't know what'll happen, but we keep going. We never stop, see? What we've done yesterday. That's gone. The only thing you can do about yesterday, if it wasn't good, is repent of it today. So today won't be messed up like yesterday, see? So we have the Word of God. Think of that. And when you know that this man, William Tyndale, the most hunted, hated man by the Catholic Church in the history of the Catholic Church, he translated the Old and New Testament into English, and everything we have in English today, 95% of it he did alone. He had a couple of helpers. The authorities were after him. He had to hide. Finally, they got a man to betray him and turn him in. He spent 18 months in the prison in Valverde near Belgium. And he finished the Old Testament. And then he was martyred. What they did, they put him at the stake, put all the burning material around there, had a rope with a hole going through the stake, put the noose around his neck. See what he went through? And his last words were, Lord, open the eyes of the King of England. Lit the fire and was martyred. And the day he was martyred was the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, 1536. And we're here. Okay? Now, and he who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. That's what we're to do. Faithfully. And there are things that we don't know. And if we don't know, we have to say we don't know. See? I forget, someone asked me yesterday, what about this? And I said, I don't know. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Listen, no one can go against God, period. See? But God loves us and wants us to love him. And he wants to give us eternal life. He's reproducing himself. That's why this new book you just got. I hope that helps a lot of people to really see and understand. God's plan is fantastic. It is marvelous. It is beyond the comprehension of human beings. Only God could reveal it, and he didn't even reveal it to his apostles until about 30 years after they had been preaching. And revealed to us today that we can become the sons and daughters of God. And see, that's the whole goal of where we're going. The one who has my word, let him teach my word or speak my word faithfully. All right? Then he says it's like a fire and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets who steal my words, each one from his neighbor. and you can read the rest of it, see? Okay? Now then, this is why here in the New Testament, now you know why, let's come to John 21, see? John 21. Now, sometimes when you preach, see, if you preach the word of God here, it's well received, right? Yes. But if any one of us got up in a Sunday keeping pulpit and read this and looked down there at the minister sitting in the first row and say, you, mister, are in that category, that deacon should be up there and carry you out and throw you out the door. Wouldn't they? See? All right. He gave the keys to Peter to give to all who will be teachers. Here is a prophetic message to Peter and to all elders and ministers. Remember, Peter said, Lord, you can count on me. I'll never deny you. No, I'll stick with you. You know, Jesus said, you're going to be scattered. He said, I'll go even to prison with you into death. Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, I tell you, today in this very night, you will deny me three times. And he did, didn't he? What did he do? It says right in scriptures, he cursed, right? Didn't he? And when he did it the third time, Jesus, who was being questioned, looked right over to Peter, and then Peter left and wept and repented. Okay? So therefore, we have this, John 21 and verse 15. Now here's another lesson we can learn from this. God does not operate on our faults as elders and ministers. He gives us with His Spirit what we need to serve. He'll reveal our faults and things to us so we can repent, so we can come to do exactly what Peter was told to do here, which is for all elders and ministers, okay? Isn't it wonderful? I can't see the clock. I can see the clock, but I can't read it. What time is it? Okay, we'll finish here in just a little bit. The food is ready and waiting, and we'll have an ordination when I get done here in just a minute. Therefore, when they had finished eating, verse 15, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? See? Can't be political. Can't have politics in the church of God. And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon Peter, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my sheep. That is the goal of what God wants from every minister, every elder. Feed the sheep because we love God and we love Christ. See? And we teach the words of God. What did you hear from these three men that came up here? All different. No one conferred with one or the other. I just asked them, would you please speak? What did they speak? The word of God, right? What do we live by? The word of God. We have the opportunity like no other generation in the world, and yet Revelation 3 says, too many are lukewarm. Isn't that a shame? Let it not be with us. Now let's come to 1 Timothy, the third chapter. 1 Timothy, the third chapter, okay? Now, through the years, God has called different men to come and be with us, with the things we're doing. They love God. They want to serve the people of God. And we need to have the utmost of respect and love for the elders. They're not perfect. I'm not perfect. They don't know everything. I don't know everything. But I can tell you one thing. We love God. We pray for you every day. We care for you for when you're sick. We care for you when you have your difficulties and troubles. We ask God to intervene and bless you and strengthen you and lift you up every day. That's part of our prayers. See? Now, that's not vain repetition. That's needed every day. Do you need God every day? Yes. Do you need your day blessed every day? Yes. Do you need to be protected by the angels of God every day? Yes. Especially if your car rolls over. Okay? Those are not vain repetitions. Do we need your prayers every day? Yes. Do the other brethren need your prayers every day? Yes. And what was it? The two main things in the prayer, besides getting your food. First thing is, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And rescue us from the evil one. Right? That's for all of us. We pray that for the brethren of God. Now here, this was a time when just before the church was ready to fall apart. And this was a time when they first began to understand, well, Jesus is not going to come for a long, long, long time. So Paul writes to Timothy, faithful is this saying, if any man aspires to be an overseer. Now, let me tell you, you've heard enough about the ministry of God. We're not overlords. We're helpers. We're overseers to make sure everything is done right and properly. Okay? We're not to rule any of the brethren's lives. We are not to make them our slaves and servants and vassals. We are to help them attain to the great calling of God, to become the sons and daughters of God through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, through the Word of God. That's what we are to do. See? That's why it's a good work. But it's God's work. See? And you can't be an elder and do your work. Now then, it's obligatory that the overseer be blameless, a husband of one wife, vigilant, serious-minded, respectable, hospitable, skillful in teaching. As a matter of fact, that's what Russell was before he retired, a teacher. Wonderful indeed. Okay? Not given to much wine, not a bully, not greedy for selfish gain, but kind, not a quarreler, not a lover of money, one who rules his own house well, having his children in subjection with all respect. Well, yours already up and gone, right? Okay. Hope they're doing good. Okay. Then it says, if any man does not know how to rule his own household, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, not someone new, lest he become conceited and fall into the same condemnation as the devil. And when we had all of those 21-year-olds ordained, what did we have? Verse 6. It is mandatory that he also have a good report from those who are outside the church, lest he fall into reproach and snare of the devil. Okay? Now, there are other qualifications that we read in the book of Titus, and I can see this, that it is going to be a thing which will take place in the future too. God will call more who will be qualified to be elders as God adds to the church. See? Now look at all the people who are here today. First time we had a conference here, I think we had about 30, 35, maybe 40 people. That's all we had. Look at today. and there are many, many more who could come. So we're very thankful that God has intervened in the lives of all the men who were elders. We love them and respect them, and they are dedicated to serving God in love and in truth. So with that, if Russell will come forward and Roger Kendall and Marlon Fannin, we will ordain Russell Kemp.
Holy Father, we come to you. We thank you for your greatness, your love, your holiness, your perfection. We thank you for working in Russell's life to help him draw close to you, stay faithful to you, intervene, to guide and correct him. And now, Father, we have served you in this manner for many years, and now you just lay hands on him and ordain him as an elder in your church to help feed the flock, to take care of the brethren, and preach the truth of your word. So we lay hands on him now, asking that you will give him the gift of your Holy Spirit in addition to what he already has, that you will help him understand your word even more, that you will bless him and protect him as he travels, that you will bless his wife, Laura, and be with her and help her in every way. And Father, we know that he has served with dedication, with the feast, and with the brethren for many, many years, and we just thank you for it. Now with this, we just put him into your hands, claiming this promise, asking that you be with him in every way. And help us all, Father, to rejoice in your goodness, to rejoice in your work, to rejoice in the wonderful things that you do to make these things possible. So we know that he loves you, we know that he will serve you, and just bless him and guide him now with your spirit, protect him with his angels, and we commit him into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, yes. Andrew, come here, please. May I have for you a certificate of ordination with an anointing bottle in close. And before you use it, you ask God's special blessing on it or anoint. Likewise with Russell, there is a certificate of ordination.
So we're very happy about that. It's a wonderful time. And so what we can do is this. We can thank God for the fruit. We can thank God for the brethren. We can thank God for the elders. And we thank God for his faithfulness going back through time. So with that, it's time to close and go get something to put in our stomach. So Roger, if you'll lead us in a closing hymn. And then whoever's going to bring the closing prayer and a blessing on the meal.